Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We've been doing that for the last week or so. And we've been reading so many different pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And today we wanted to kind of finish up and read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the civil disobedience of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the encounter with Chankazi. This is a very important pastime because it depicts what the Krishna consciousness movement itself went through in the early days when we started, that more or less we created somewhat of a civil disobedience in the world, around the world, and not only in America at that time, but different places, Australia and Japan even. There were devotees that came together and started to chant the holy name of the Lord, this Harinam Sankirtan. And so many devotees were put in such extreme difficulties, just as we're seeing or reading here, that the Chankazi personally came and broke the Murdunga drums and actually threatened imprisonment and maybe even death if they didn't stop this congregational chanting of the holy name. And also, in the early days, so many devotees had to actually go to jail. Really, it's incredible. We were chanting in the streets, and the police would come. Someone would call the police on us. The police would come, and they would handcuff even our ladies, even the women. They were handcuffed, and you were handcuffed in such a way to create pain. They handcuffed you behind your arms, or your hands behind your back, and they would purposely put them real tight, and then they would try to pull your arms back and actually purposefully create some kind of pain. It was incredible, just for chanting Hare Krishna in the streets. And it was just unthinkable. And sometimes ladies were dragged. Sometimes some of our Matajis were very belligerent to the authorities, and they wouldn't walk, so they were dragged. Can you imagine? Dragged and just thrown in a car, a paddy wagon. I remember I was doing this Harinam in Chicago, downtown State Street, and the Chicago police do have like a history of being a little bit, you know, mean. And they... So they did come. They came with paddy wagons. Can you imagine, as if we were like some riot. And they stopped right in the middle of the street, about three paddy wagons, and stopped the traffic, created a big scene. There's thousands of people that walk that State Street. There's thousands upon people. It's just like incredible. And they did it purposefully just to embarrass us. They took us to the station and handcuffed. They invited the press. Can you imagine? They invited the press to come and then look at us. And we were there like, you know, like some animals, handcuffed. And the press would come and like take photographs of us, like we were some specimen or something. So it was amazing. And so when you're reading this pastime, it depicts the Krishna consciousness movement in the early days. And it wasn't unusual for a Harinam party to have like a guard, a sentry, S-E-N-T-R-Y, sentry, like, you know, a guard, because there would be always some kind of dacoit that would come and tried to like harass the devotees physically and verbally harass the devotees. And you always have to have one tough devotee. Of course, all the devotees are tough, but we had to have especially one tough guy. And it wouldn't be unusual to see a devotee and a dhoti rolling in the gutter with some karmi, fighting. It was like when we went to Harinam, we kind of thought, well, this might happen today. And you know, sometimes it did happen where you'd see a devotee that literally right in the curb on the street, you know, pounding some person that came along and said derogatory words or tried to physically do something to our ladies and even to the men devotees. So when you read this, especially those devotees that have been in Krishna consciousness for a number of years, it's actually very apropos what we're reading. And it actually happened like this. Of course, we didn't have the ability as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did and had 100,000 people come and protest to the authorities. But what we did have is we had His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And that was worth, you know, 300,000 men. Prabhupada encouraged us. He told us to go on and not to stop. And we didn't. And He told us fight. So we went to courts and fought to be able to chant the holy name in the streets. And today, those of you that are going on Harinam, you're able to do that by the sweat and blood of previous devotees. And when I say sweat and blood, I mean that, seriously. Devotees really gave everything they had in order for the future generation to be able to chant the holy name in the streets freely. And so that is really marvelous. I mean, it's pretty amazing how that history goes. So when we're reading this particular pastime, those are the things that come to mind in terms of the ISKCON society today and in the beginning. Okay, so we'll read and try to interject a few things here and there, but we'll try to finish this particular pastime. Not too many pages, but we'll try to go steady. So I think Anika left off at 169, right? Okay. Okay. Okay, so I'll read 168. After hearing these statements by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Qazi, his arguments stunned, could not put forward any more words. Thus, after due consideration, the Qazi accepted defeat and spoke as follows. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his already, and now it's the Qazi. Purport. In our practical preaching work, we must meet many Christians who talk about statements of the Bible. When we question whether God is limited or unlimited, Christian priests say that God is unlimited. But when we question why the unlimited God should have only one son and not unlimited sons, they are unable to answer. Similarly, from a scientific point of view, the answers of the Old Testament, New Testament, and Quran to many questions have changed. But a Shastra cannot change at a person's whim. All Shastras must be free from the four defects of human nature. The statements of Shastra must be correct for all time. So obviously Prabhupada here is depicting there's so many versions of the Bible in itself. So this is what Prabhupada is referring to, whereas we see that the Vedas, they're unchanged. There's no new versions of the Vedas. The Vedas are always the Vedas. And here we see that there's so many different versions of the Quran and, of course, the Old Testament, the New Testament. And this is what Prabhupada is referring to. My dear Nimai Pandit, what you have said is all true. Our scriptures have developed only recently, and they are certainly not logical and philosophical. Purport. The Shastras of the Yavanas, or meat-eaters, are not eternal scriptures. They have been fashioned recently, and sometimes they contradict one another. The scriptures of the Yavanas are three: the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran. Their compilation has a history. They are not eternal like the Vedic knowledge. Therefore, although they have their arguments and reasonings, they are not very sound and transcendental. As such, modern people advanced in science and philosophy deem these scriptures unacceptable. Sometimes Christian priests come to us inquiring, why are our followers neglecting our scriptures and accepting yours? But when we ask them, your Bible says, do not kill, why then are you killing so many animals daily? They cannot answer. Some of them imperfectly answer that the animals have no souls. But then we ask them, how do you know that animals have no souls? Animals and children are of the same nature. Does that mean that the children of human society also have no souls? According to the Vedic scriptures, within the body is the owner of the body, the soul. In Bhagavad Gita 2:13, it is said, Dehino shmin yata dehe, komaram yovanam jara, tata dehantara praptir, dhirastatara namuyati. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. End of quote. Because the soul is within the body changes through so many forms. There is a soul within the body of every living creature, whether animal, tree, bird, or human being, and the soul is transmigrating from one type of body to another. When the scriptures of the Yavanas, namely the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Quran, cannot properly answer inquisitive followers, naturally, those advanced in scientific knowledge and philosophy lose faith in such scriptures. The Qazi admitted this while talking with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Qazi was a very intelligent person. He had full knowledge of his position, as stated in the following verse. Go to the next translation. I know that our scriptures are full of imagination and mistaken ideas, yet because I am a Muslim, I accept them for the sake of my community, despite their insufficient support. The reasoning and arguments in the scriptures of the meat eaters are not very sound, the Qazi concluded. Upon hearing this statement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and inquired from him as follows. My dear maternal uncle, I wish to ask you another question. Please tell me the truth. Do not try to cheat me with tricks. In your city, there is always congregational chanting of the holy name. A tumultuous uproar of music, singing and dancing is always going on. As a Muslim magistrate, you have the right to oppose the performance of Hindu ceremonies, but now you do not forbid them. I cannot understand the reason why. The Qazi said, everyone calls you Gaur Hari. Please let me address you by that name. Kindly listen, O Gaur Hari. If you come to a private place, I shall then explain the reason. The Lord replied, all these men are my confidential associates. You may speak frankly. There is no reason to be afraid of them. The Qazi said, when I went to the Hindu's house, broke the drum, and forbade the performance of congregational chanting, in my dreams that very night, I saw a greatly fearful lion, roaring very loudly, his body like a human being's and his face like a lion's. While I was asleep, the lion jumped on my chest, laughing fiercely and gnashing his teeth. Piercing his nails on my chest, the lion said in a great voice, I shall at once bifurcate your chest as you broke the mridanga drum. You have forbidden the performance of my congregational chanting. Therefore, I must destroy you. Being very much afraid of him, I closed my eyes and trembled. Seeing me so afraid, the lion said, I have defeated you just to teach you a lesson, but I must be merciful to you. On that day, you did not create a very great disturbance. Therefore, I have excused you and not taken your life. But if you perform such activities again, I shall not be tolerant. At that time, I shall kill you, your entire family, and all the meat eaters. After saying this, the lion left, but I was very much afraid of him. Just see the marks of his nails on my heart. After this description, the Qazi showed his chest. Having heard him and seen the marks, all the people there accepted the wonderful incident. The Kazi continued, I did not speak to anyone about this incident, but on that very day, one of my orderlies came to see me. After coming to me, the orderly said, when I went to stop the congregational chanting, suddenly flames struck my face. My beard was burned, and there were blisters on my cheeks. Every orderly who went gave the same description. After seeing this, I was very much afraid. I asked them not to stop the congregational chanting, but to go sit down at my home. Then all the meat eaters, hearing that there would be unrestricted congregational chanting in the city, came to submit a petition. The religion of the Hindus has increased unlimitedly. There are always vibrations of Hari Hari. We do not hear anything but this. One meat eater said, the Hindus say, Krishna, Krishna, and they laugh, cry, dance, chant, and fall on the ground, smearing their bodies with dirt. Vibrating Hari Hari, the Hindus make a tumultuous sound. If the king hears it, certainly he will punish you. Purport. Patashaha refers to the king, Nawab Hussein Shah, whose full name was Alauddin Sayyad Hussein Shah, was at the time the independent king of Bengal. Formerly, he was a servant of the cruel Nawab of the Habsi dynasty named Mujapara Khan. But somehow or other, he assassinated his master and became the king. After gaining the throne of Bengal, he declared himself Sayyad Hussein Alauddin Serepa Mukha. There is a book called Riyaja Ushalatina, whose author, Golam Hussein, says that Nawab Hussein Shah belonged to the family of Mukha Serepa. To keep his family's glory, he took the name Sharip Mukha. Generally, however, he is known as Nawab Hussein Shah. After his death, his eldest son, Nararasta, became king of Bengal. The king also was very cruel. He committed many atrocities against the Vaishnavas. As a result of his sinful activities, one of his servants from the Koja group killed him while he was praying in the mosque. Just thought I'd read that little history. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for that. I then inquired from these Yavanas. I know that these Hindus by nature chant Hari Hari. The Hindus chant the name Hari because that is the name of their god. But you are Muslims, meat eaters. Why do you chant the names of the Hindu god? The meat eater replied, sometimes I joke with the Hindus. Some of them are called Krishnadas, and some are called Ramadas. Some of them are called Haridas. They always chant Hari Hari, and thus I thought they would steal the riches from someone's house. Purport, another meaning of Hari Hari is I am stealing, I am stealing. Translation, since that time, my tongue also always vibrates the sound Hari Hari. I have no desire to say it, but still my tongue says it. I do not know what to do. Purport. Sometimes demoniac non-believers, not understanding the potency of the holy name, make fun of the Vaishnavas when the Vaishnavas chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This joking is also beneficial for such persons. Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, 2nd Chapter, verse 14, indicates that the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, even in joking, in the course of ordinary discussion, in indicating something extraneous or in negligence, is called namabhas, which is chanting that is almost on the transcendental stage. This namabhas stage is better than nam aparad. Namabhas awakens the supreme remembrance of Lord Vishnu. When one remembers Lord Vishnu, he becomes free from material enjoyment. Thus he gradually comes forward toward the transcendental service of the Lord and becomes eligible to chant the holy name of the Lord in the transcendental position. I think there's unlimited stories about things like this. We've heard them, I think, previously so many times that so many people have come by while the Harinam party is going on, chanting in joking fashion, maybe throwing a rock at the devotees, and then eventually becoming a devotee. We've heard so many stories like that, but this is just another indication of the potency of chanting Hare Krishna, that people that have no idea what they're doing and doing it in a joking fashion. But because it's a joking fashion, it's not namaparad, but it's in a joking fashion, they become purified and they actually become devotees. Some devotees that actually got beat, or some people that got beat very severely, became devotees. It was incredible. I remember in Denver, there's a couple like that. One devotee, he was initiated, but he came into the temple room, and that time we only had like a picture of Srila Prabhupada on the Vyasasan. And this person actually came into the temple room and got on the Vyasasan and sat on it. And he must have sat there for quite some time because it was in the midday. Somehow he got in the temple room. And so we caught him. And when we caught him, the devotees beat him pretty mercilessly for getting on the Vyasasan. In those days, we were pretty wild. We felt that this was a grave offense on his part to try to take the seat of the guru. And he knew what he was doing because he had come to the temple previously. But after that severe beating, he came back and became a devotee and got initiated. He got initiated. And he even got brahminical initiation. And then he left his body not too long ago. Yes. That's right. That's what it was. Prabhupada even gave him initiation. It's amazing. Yeah, it was something like that. But it's just this particular pastime invokes so many memories of what was actually in the beginning in Krishna consciousness. And I think anybody that was in any temple experienced these same situations. This was not unusual. This was like a normal, you know, somebody gave that story. Oh, that's pretty cool. You know, and this person that got initiated, he would talk about it openly and freely. There was another devotee in Chicago that threw rocks at the Harinam party as they were chanting, and it would run away. And then he would go where the temple was located, and he would throw rocks at the temple, try to break a window. And he would just be creating this mischief all the time and really irritating the devotees. So they finally caught him. And when they caught him, they gave him, you know, some purification. And it's amazing. After his purification, he got initiated by Srila Prabhupada, and he was a big book distributor. And he distributed thousands of books. It's the most incredible thing. It's almost like it's shocking how this transpired. Yeah, Jagai Mata. Exactly, Jagai Mata. We were all Jagai Matais. And in the same position. Definitely. So for us, this is something that's, you know, it was a common situation that happened. And these people actually became devotees. So we'll continue on translation. Another meat eater said, "Sir, please hear me. Since the day I joked with some Hindus in this way, my tongue chants the Hare Krishna hymn and cannot give it up. I do not know what mystic hymns and herbal potions these Hindus know. After hearing all this, I sent all the Malechas back to their homes. 5 or 7 non-believing Hindus then approached me." I'll read the purport. It's very, very potent. The word pasandi refers to non-believers engaged in fruitive activities and to idolatrous worshippers of many demigods. But Sundays do not believe in one God, the Supreme Personality, Lord Vishnu. They think that all the demigods have the same potency as he. The definition of a Pasandi is given in the Tantra Shastra, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradhi Daivatai Samatvenaiva Vikshita Sa Pasandi Bhaved Dhruvam. A Pasandi is one who considers the great demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Asammurdva. In other words, no one can be equal to or greater than him. But Pasandis do not believe this. They worship any kind of demigod, thinking it all right to accept whomever they please as a Supreme Lord. The Pasandis were against the Hare Krishna movement of Lord Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and now we see practically that they also do not like our humble attempts to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. On the contrary, these Pasandis say that we are spoiling the Hindu religion because people all over the world are accepting Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to the version of Bhagavad Gita as it is. The Pasandis condemn this movement, and sometimes they accuse Vaishnavas from foreign countries of being not bona fide. Even so-called Vaishnavas, pseudo-followers of the Vaishnava cult, do not agree with our activities in making Vaishnavas in the Western countries. Such Pasandis existed even during the time of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they continue to exist despite all the activities of these Pasandis, however. The prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will triumph. Pritiviti achinayatanagaradigram sarvatra prachara hoiben moranam. In every town and village, the chanting of my name will be heard. No one can check the spread of the Krishna consciousness movement because upon this movement is the benediction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Is there a light over there by any chance? In the drawer. I can't hardly see anything here. I'm actually guessing on half the words that I'm looking at. Okay, translation. Coming to me, the Hindus complain. Nimai Pandit has broken the Hindu religious principles. He has introduced the Sankirtan system, which we never heard from any scripture. When we keep a night-long vigil to observe religious performances for the worship of Mangala Chandi and Vishahari, playing on musical instruments, dancing and chanting are certainly fitting customs. Nimai Pandit was previously a very good boy, but since he has returned from Gaya, he conducts himself differently. That's cool. You can put it a little bit to the side. That's like too direct. Can you just kind of move it this way a little bit? Yeah, okay, that's good. Right, back there. That's good. Thank you. Nimai Pandit was previously a very good boy, but since he has returned from Gaya, he conducts himself differently. Now he loudly sings all kinds of songs, claps and plays drums and hand cymbals, making a tumultuous sound that deafens our ears. We do not know what he eats that makes him become mad, so that he dances, sings, sometimes laughs, cries, falls down, jumps up, and rolls on the ground. He has made all the people practically mad by always performing congregational chanting. At night, we cannot get any sleep. We are always kept awake. Now he has given up his own name, Nimai, and introduced himself by the name Gaurahari. He has spoiled the Hindu religious principles and introduced the irreligion of non-believers. Now the lower classes are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra again and again. For this sinful activity, the entire city of Navadvip will become deserted. According to Hindu scripture, God's name is the most powerful hymn. If everyone hears the chanting of the name, the potency of the hymn will be lost. Purport. In the list of offenses in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, it is said, dharma vrata tyaga hutadhi sarva subha kriya samyam api pramadaha. To consider the chanting of the holy name of the Lord equal to the execution of some auspicious religious ceremony is an offense. According to the materialistic point of view, observing a religious ceremony invokes an auspicious atmosphere for the material benefit of the entire world. Materialists, therefore, manufacture religious principles to live comfortably and without disturbance in executing their material activities. Since they do not believe in the existence of God, they have manufactured the idea that God is impersonal and that to have some conception of God, one may imagine any form. Thus, they respect the many forms of the demigods as different representations or manifestations of the Lord. They are called Bhavishvara Vadis, or followers of thousands and thousands of gods. They consider the chanting of the names of the demigods an auspicious activity. Great so-called Swamis have written books saying that one may chant any name, Durga, Kali, Shiva, Krishna, Rama, and so on. Because any name is all right for invoking an auspicious atmosphere in society, thus they are called Pasundis, unbelievers or faithless demons. Such Pasundis do not know the actual value of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord Krishna. Foolishly proud of their material birth as Brahmanas and their consequently higher position in the social order, they think of other classes, namely the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and Sudras, as lower classes. According to them, no one but the Brahmanas can chant the holy name of Krishna, for if others chanted the holy name, its potency would be reduced. They are unaware of the potency of Lord Krishna's name. The Brihannardiya Purana recommends, Harirnama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatya Anyata. For spiritual progress in this age of Kali, there is no alternative, no alternative, no alternative to the holy name of the holy name of the Lord. End of quote. The Pasundis do not accept that the potency of the holy name of Krishna is so great that one can be delivered simply by chanting the holy name. Although this is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirtanat Eva Krishna Sya Mukta Sangha Param Rajat, any man from any part of the world who practices chanting of the holy name of Krishna can be liberated and after death go back home, back to Godhead. The rascal Pasundis think that if anyone but a Brahmana chants the holy name, the potency of the holy name is vanquished. According to their judgment, instead of delivering the fallen souls, the potency of the holy name is reduced. Believing in the existence of many gods and considering the chanting of the holy name of Krishna no better than other hymns, these Pasundis do not believe in the words of the Shastra. Harirnama, Harirnama, Harinam, Eva Kevalam. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms in his Shishastika, Kirtaniya Siddhahari, one must chant the holy name of the Lord always, 24 hours a day. The Pasundis, however, are so fallen and falsely proud, have taken birth in Brahmana families that they think that instead of delivering all the fallen souls, the holy name becomes impotent when constantly chanted by lower class men. Significant in verse 211 are the words Krishnera Kirtana Hare Kare Nicha Bada, indicating that anyone can join in the Sankirtan movement. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasa Abira Sumba Yavana Kashadaya. This is a list of the names of Chandalas. The Pasundis say that when these lower class men are allowed to chant, their influence is enhanced. They do not like the idea that others should also develop spiritual qualities. Because this would curb their false pride in having taken birth in families of the elevated Brahmana caste, with a monopoly on spiritual activities. But despite all protests from so-called Hindus and members of the Brahmana caste, we are propagating the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, according to the injunctions of the Shastras and the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus we are sure that we are delivering many fallen souls, making them bona fide candidates for going back home, back to Godhead. It was a very lengthy purport, but in the same connection, even in the beginning, when we were out chanting in the streets, and Srila Prabhupada encouraged us to do so, many people that were coming to the temple in those days were of Indian descent. And when they heard that we were like in streets chanting and that we were distributing books in the airports and in the streets, it was very disturbing news to them. In fact, they were very embarrassed to be even affiliated or associated with us. Sometimes in need, we would approach them and ask them for help. And a lot of them refused because they didn't agree with what Srila Prabhupada was doing. They didn't agree with us being in the streets. This was against Hindu principles of propagating or forcing or putting Krishna upon people. They were very disturbed by this activity. And for years, they wouldn't support us until gradually they became more and more purified by the association of devotees. And secondly, they didn't feel that we were qualified to even preach about Krishna. So many of them, if you befriended one or two, they would be honest with you. In the beginning, I remember being in Denver, there were several that would come to the temple on a regular basis, and I thought they were actually very close to us and our friends. But after befriending a couple of other Indian devotees that would come, they began telling us how they thought we were really malechas and yavanas, and that we had no right to even be propagating or speaking about Krishna consciousness. And they would come to the temple just to see the deities. So this is very apropos, applicable here, as Prabhupada is saying that he's delivering many opportunities for people to go back home, back to Godhead, by this process of Lord Chaitanya. And regardless of what people thought and how they treated us and how they acted, Srila Prabhupada was determined to press on. Where you can see today, the Krishna conscious movement is one of the fastest growing societies in the country of Russia, communist country, just a few years ago, because of Prabhupada's determination to follow the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, that today in Russia, there's thousands and thousands of devotees. Like in certain parts of Russia, they have like what country is that, in Kazakhstan? Where do they have that big Russian festival? Where? Ukraine. In the Ukraine, yes. Every year they have this festival in the Ukraine. I've seen some videos of it. And there's up to 5,000 devotees that come. 10,000. Nagapatni says now there's 10,000 devotees that come. And you can't even do that in America. If you try to do a big festival like that in America somewhere, any kind of place, someplace centrally in America, to get 10,000 devotees to come would be a real challenge. And I don't, when we say 10,000, we mean of Russian descent. We don't mean that it'd be a conglomerate. But this is 10,000 devotees of Russian descent. And this is the potency of this Sankirtan movement. And that's why this is so important to read this particular pastime, because it depicts our society directly. And the potency of Srila Prabhupada in following the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's up to us to also continue this mood, to be constantly professing this chanting of the holy name, this Harinam, this book distribution. Without it, we'll not be able to spread the Krishna conscious movement. And Prabhupada will say certain things here in this particular pastimes. But we should see that, yes, it may create a disturbance in the minds of so many people when they see us, as they did about the airport. It created a lot of disturbance in the minds of people. But by that distribution of literature, thousands of people came in contact with Krishna consciousness. And they're actually devotees today by that activity. And so here we see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his potency, he forced the Muslims to hear the holy name of the Lord. And here they're telling us what's happened to them, what actually occurred when they would hear all the devotees chanting the holy name constantly. They actually became purified. Okay, we'll continue. Not too many more pages. We're almost done. Sir, you are the ruler of this town. Whether Hindu or Muslim, everyone is under your protection. Therefore, please call Nimai Pandit and make him leave the town. This is the residence, the Muslim residence. Purport. The word Thakur has two meanings. One meaning is God or godly person, and another meaning is Kshatriya. Here, the Pasandi Brahmanas address the Qazi as Thakur, considering him the ruler of the town. There are different names by which to address the members of different castes. The Brahmanas are addressed as Maharaj, and Kshatriyas as Thakur, and the Vaishyas as Seta or Mahajana, and Sudras as Chaudhuri. This etiquette is still followed in northern India, where the Kshatriyas are addressed as Thakur Sahab. The Pasandis went so far as to request the magistrate or Qazi to have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expelled from the town because of his introducing Harinam Sankirtan. Fortunately, our Hare Krishna movement all over the world, especially in the civilized world of Europe and America, has become very popular. Generally, no one complains against us to have us removed from a city, although such an attempt was indeed made in Melbourne, Australia. The attempt failed. Thus, we are now introducing this Hare Krishna movement in great cities of the world, like New York, London, Paris, Tokyo, Sydney, Melbourne, and Auckland. And by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything is going on nicely. People are happy to accept the principle of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and the result is most satisfactory. Translation. After hearing their complaints in sweet words, I told them, please go back home. I shall certainly prohibit Nimai Pandit from continuing his Hare Krishna movement. I know that Narayan is the supreme god of the Hindus, and I think that you are the same Narayan. This I feel within my mind. After hearing the Qazi speak so nicely, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched him and smilingly spoke as follows. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna from your mouth has performed a wonder. It has nullified the reactions of all your sinful activities. Now you have become supremely pure. Purport. Confirming the potency of the Sankirtan movement, these words from the very mouth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu express how people can be purified simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. The Qazi was a Muslim malecha, or meat-eater, but because he several times uttered the holy name of Lord Krishna, automatically the reactions of his sinful life were vanquished, and he was fully purified of all material contamination. We do not know why the Pasandis of the present day protest that we are deteriorating the Hindu religion by spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, and claiming all classes of men to the highest standard of Vaishnavism. But these rascals disagree with us so vehemently that some of them do not allow European and American Vaishnavas to enter the temples of Vishnu. Thinking religion to be meant for material benefit, these so-called Hindus have actually become vicious by worshipping the numerous forms of the demigods. In the next verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms the Qazi's purification. Translation. Because you have chanted three holy names of the Lord, Hari, Krishna, and Narayana, you are undoubtedly the most fortunate and pious. Purport. Here the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms that anyone who chants the holy names Hari, Krishna, and Narayana, without offense, is certainly extremely fortunate. And whether Indian or non-Indian, Hindu or non-Hindu, he immediately comes to the level of the most pious personality. We therefore do not care about the statements of Pasandis who protest against our movements making the members of other cities or countries into Vaishnavas. We have to follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, executing our mission peacefully, or if necessary, kicking the heads of such protesters. After the Qazi heard this, tears flowed down from his eyes. He immediately touched the lotus feet of the Lord and spoke the following sweet words. Only by your mercy have my bad intentions vanished. Kindly favor me so that my devotion may always be fixed upon you. Wow. The Lord said, I wish to beg you for one favor in charity. You must pledge that this Sankirtan movement will not be checked at least in the district of Nadia. The Qazi said, to as many descendants as take birth in my dynasty in the future, I give the grave admonition. No one should check the Sankirtan movement. Purport. As a result of this grave injunction by the Qazi, even at present, the descendants of the Qazi's family do not oppose the Sankirtan movement under any circumstances. Even during the great Hindu-Muslim riots in neighboring places, the descendants of the Qazi honestly preserved the assurance given by their forefather. Translation. Hearing this, the Lord got up, chanting Hari Hari. Following him, all the other Vaishnavas also got up, chanting the vibration of the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to perform kirtan, and the Qazi, his mind jubilant, went with him. The Lord asked the Qazi to go back home. Then the son of Mother Sachi came back to his own home, dancing. This is the incident concerning the Qazi and the Lord's mercy upon him. Anyone who hears this is also freed from all offenses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Yeah. So, yes, Amarendra. I've never read that, but it appears that Lord Chaitanya, he helps the most fallen. So he was just in the way of getting purified. I don't know. Did anybody hear anything else about him? He was considered to be a great saint after this incident. Even today, he has a tomb where people come and visit. So anyway, we can see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us a great, huge goal to achieve the highest goal. And actually, this requires tapasya, austerity. It's not easy. So we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us how to become purified. Tanarapi sunichina tarorapi shishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Prabhupada says that this is actually the formula. The formula to achieve the highest goal. And Lord Chaitanya, he didn't write much, he didn't leave much, but he left those four stanzas for sure in order to depict what it takes, what kind of tapasya it takes to become purified and to be able to spread the holy name of Krishna to everywhere in the world. We see that he taught this to us. Srila Prabhupada gave it to us. Lord Chaitanya also manifested his potency in delivering so many conditioned souls, and we see that Srila Prabhupada followed in those footsteps. Lord Chaitanya says, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is actually the prescription for this age. That is the prescription. We're all in a diseased condition of life, and the prescription is to glorify, to profess the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Kirtaniya Siddhar, Kirtanat Eva Krishna Siddhar, Mukta Sangha Param Rajat. That there's no, that in this age, the chanting of the holy name, that's the requirement to become purified. But we have to also perform the tapasya of Tanarapi Suniche Nar. That we have to feel ourselves lower than the straw in the street. And we have to feel tolerant. If we can't feel ourselves insignificant, if we can't feel tolerant, if we can't feel that we don't want any prestige, then it's very difficult. Kirtaniya Siddhahari. It's very difficult to chant the holy name of the Lord. That is our tapasya. We have to perform that tapasya. We have to be constantly considering ourselves to be very insignificant. And if we don't, then we lose out. We can't chant properly. If we follow the prescription, then we'll be able to chant very nicely and we'll become happy. We'll become successful. Prabhupada said that success is happiness. That's success. You can have tons and tons of fame and glory, and you can have tons of money, And we've read and heard and seen so many people with that kind of situation, but they're not happy. So they're not really successful. Success means that we're actually happy. This is really what life is about, how to become happy. And if we follow the prescription given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we'll be happy, we'll be satisfied. But it's tapasya. It takes work. It doesn't come easy. It's hard to be humble. You know, in fact, in Vaishnav culture, we use the word Prabhu. Prabhu means you're my master. I'm your servant. But Srila Prabhupada said that this shouldn't be artificial. One shouldn't call someone Prabhu. But in reality, you're thinking, you're my servant. Prabhu, you're my servant. Whereas Prabhu means you're my master. So he said, such and such Prabhu, you're saying you're my master. But Prabhupada said we shouldn't be artificial, or we shouldn't try to accomplish Krishna consciousness by lying and calling someone Prabhu, but in reality you're thinking, listen, you're actually my servant, you know, serve me. Whereas Krishna consciousness is the opposite. A real Prabhu is a person who is actually das, 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 anudas, four times, the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. This is a real Prabhu. This is the real qualification of Prabhu. And we see at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's called Mahaprabhu, the greatest of servants, because he gave the holy name. So we can't be artificial in the execution of our Krishna consciousness, that you call someone Prabhu and then you tell them what to do. It's counterproductive. When you say Prabhu, you mean Prabhu, I'm your servant, you're my master. And this is Vaishnava etiquette. But you see, in the material world, this is going on all the time. Due to diplomacy and wanting some kind of reward, wanting something political. So we utilize these terminologies in order to get something from that individual. But this is not how you acquire Krishna consciousness. You don't become Krishna conscious like that. It has to be really genuine. And this genuineness only comes when we take that prescription by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by considering ourselves to be lower than the grass in the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, more tolerant than a tree. This is the formula. And we've heard that formula over and over and over again. Still, it's what the formula is in order to become a really sincere, dedicated soul, to press on this Krishna conscious movement. And that's really what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do. We're like in a disease condition. For instance, if a person, depending on the disease that someone has, if you have, let's say, for instance, cancer, the kind of austerity that one has to go through to get a cure. For instance, first of all, you have to go to a doctor, and it costs you so much money. After you go to the doctor, you get a prescription, you get medicine. That can cost you so much money. Then after you get that medicine, then you starve because you're given a diet. So that is all tapasya. That's all tapasya to get rid of a disease. There's so much. You have to work so hard. And if you don't have enough money, you have to go out and beg. Maybe you may even have to steal. You have to borrow. And you'll have to work like anything. And this is voluntarily you'll have to do that. And why are you doing it? To get rid of your disease. So you're voluntarily putting upon yourself a tremendous amount of stress in order to cure the disease. So in the same way, we're in a disease condition of life. We're in this material world. We're in this body. We think we're this body. We do everything for this body. But it's a disease condition. Our real position is to be happy, satisfied by understanding our true constitutional position as spirit soul. So we should do everything that it takes an ordinary person in the material world to get rid of a disease. They work at it. I mean, if you've ever known anybody that's had a serious disease, you'll see they do everything they possibly can. They'll give their whole fortune in order to get rid of that disease. Something they worked for their whole life. And they do everything they can. They starve even. So we should starve ourselves and only eat Krishna prasadam. and nothing else. And that's the formula. And we should chant the holy name with complete humility and no desire for some remuneration, but simply to serve Krishna. And we should perform that tapasya. That's our tapasya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us a prescription, these four stanzas. So we should take it very seriously on this day, especially this appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we should make some commitment to this tapasya. It's not tapasya, really. I mean, if you really look at it, it's nothing like a person trying to get rid of some serious disease like cancer. It's not. It's actually very blissful to chant the holy name of Krishna. I mean, who here is really forced to work so hard that you can't take it anymore? Besides Amarendra. I mean, none of us are put in that position. But we should perform tapo divyam for divine contact. Divyam. We should work relentlessly for divyam. Divine contact. We should perform tapasya tapo divyam. To perform the tapasya for divyam, for that divine contact with Krishna. Just as the materialists are working and performing so much tapasya to acquire some money or sense gratification. There should be no difference. It should be side by side. In fact, we should even be working harder. Really, for this tapo divyam. We should be rising early in the morning, enthusiastically, and not listen to our minds and our bodies. It takes that. It's like if you're a very diseased condition, you can't listen to your mind and your body. You have to go ahead and just defeat the disease. You can't succumb to it. We see glorious stories about people that had breast cancer, or some kind of other cancer, like that famous cyclist, Armstrong, right? Lance, yeah, the liar, yeah. But, you know, even though he was what he was, still, he defeated cancer. He was determined. He did everything. And if you read that story, it was almost like glorious. He never gave up. He never once succumbed to it. He just kept pushing and pushing. It took that kind of determination, and he was able to, by his karma too. The point being is using him as a story of how determined we should be in our execution of Krishna consciousness and taking this prescription, this formula given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, anything else anybody like to say? Yes, Prabhu. He was?
Kamsa.
Oh, so that's nice. So we heard this, that he was actually Kamsa in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Well, interesting. He finally got purified. Jai. Anything else? Pardon me? I heard that he was in an area of 7 feet tall. Now, you can imagine, I feel tall in Bengal. When I go to Bengal, I feel pretty big. So you can imagine what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, 7 feet tall. So he was huge. What's that? Yes, his arms were down to his knees. That was amazing. What a supreme personality. Yes. Yes. Empowered soul. Okay, anything else? All right. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.